This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 23 for September 18th, 2005. I gotta sit back in my big leather chair here. Oh, this is nice. Here we are once again at Noonan's Bar and Grill in beautiful Larkspur Landing, California. And with a large crowd this time, and we're glad you're here. And you came for the pocket protectors, didn't you? That was the real reason they're here. Let me introduce around the table our TWiTs and say right up front that John C. Dvorak and Patrick Norton were scared off by the audience. And John said, I want Bordeaux, and we didn't have any for him. And Patrick, you know, how much coffee can one guy drink? So, but let me introduce Alex Lindsay from the Pixel Core. He is here and actually with his Pixel Core camera crew.
Hello.
So we're going to do we have a three-camera shoot going on here.
It's a test.
See how this works.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin will distribute it on Revision 3, and he's actually switching it live. He's got a crew of a lot of people. You want to introduce the people that you brought here, or do you even know their names? Are they all Pixel Core members?
I think I'll blank out on somebody, I'm sure. But we have...
Who's our director? Is she directing?
And I'm blanking out on your name right now. I'm sorry. What?
Sandra.
Sandra. Yeah. That's it. So Sandra, and then we have Gene, Tony, Mike...
On the
Kenji.
Cameras. Kenji and...
My brother Joe is back here.
Hey, Joe.
The board.
Oh, that's your brother?
That's
my
brother
nice
Joe.
To see you.
Yeah, so...
that's great.
But we're going to... we're trying to do... Playing around with the live mix.
This is like a big marriage here because we've got my staff, Matt Granowetsky, the TWiT intern. And then we've got... And I want to introduce... Of course, I'll go around and then I'll introduce our special guest. Kevin Rose is here. Back from the wars, yes. With a big story too, which we'll talk about in just a second.
Yes, it feels like Dignation. I mean, we're drinking here, we're having a good time. It's like
what are you having there?
It's a Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen, yeah. That's good. Yeah, this is there's a brew pub as part of this, so you can have anything you want.
These chairs are nice and comfy.
I love the leather chairs. You know, people thought we were making this up on TWiT 22, but now they can see this is the real thing. David Prager, also here.
Good to be here.
You're sporting the pocket protector. It looks good.
I am
good.
Sporting it. It looks a little weird on my shirt, but it's cool.
No, I like that. That's the TWiT pocket protector. And Robert Herron, welcome from PC Magazine. You do a lot of this now. I see you all the time on Digital Life TV.
We're getting our new studio finished up. I think it's this week the walls will be finished.
I kind of like the half-finished wall look, though.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's better than that plain gray wall we were shooting with. That was actually the back corner.
Yeah, so. but I like it kind of half-finished. It was kind of hip, you know?
And my new lab is almost finished.
Oh, that's great. Your HD lab.
More nice. Space.
And we have a special guest today with us, and I'm really thrilled to have him. He's really, in many ways, the true father of podcasting, Doug Kay of IT Conversations. Is here. Doug, it's great to have you.
Oh, it's great to be here, Leo. You know, I live only a mile away, and I heard there was free beer.
He walked. I'll walk a mile for a free beer. Doug started IT Conversations when? In 2001?
It was actually 2003.
Three. Mm-hmm. But you've been podcasting.
Podcasting since almost 2003, when we added that RSS feed in and the enclosure tag. And
there was no name for it at the time.
That's right. It's been 2.5 years.
Yeah. When you saw these Johnny-come-latelys like us, did you kind of make you mad?
No, not at all. No, because every time you do something, my traffic goes up. You're good for me.
We're all good for each other. Right. IT Conversations now does 12 a week.
We're doing 12 shows a week right now, ramping up to about 14 because it's conference season, and we do a lot of conference audio.
I like the conference audio because I don't have to go to the conferences. I can listen to all the presentations on audio, and it's great. Web 2.0, I listen to eTech. Web 2.0 is coming up. You're going to do another one?
Web 2.0 is coming up, and we got our best show, our most popular show from last year. I better not say best, or I'll offend the rest of the conference people,
popular.
Right? But the most popular event we did last year was PopTech, which is held in Camden, Maine. And
that's because nobody can get there.
Here's the scoop for TWiT. Tomorrow we're going to announce that we will have a live stream of the audio from PopTech this year, which is about 4 weeks from now, and that'll be a free live stream.
You kind of have an interesting business model.
What's a business model?
Don't ask me. I'm the last one.
It's just like yours.
Your business model is the same as mine. But the idea eventually will be, I mean, these conferences, you're kind of scooping them, right? Because they want to sell tapes.
Well, what we do is, in most conferences, we're basically metering out the content one show per week. So if
you spread it out.
Yeah, if there's a 25-presentation conference, it's going to take 6 months before you get through that.
Right.
So we're not really competing with the conferences. We're actually enhancing that value because... You might have 400 people at a conference, but we're going to hit 40,000 to 80,000.
Right.
So
right.
We're really extending the reach of those events.
So they don't mind that you take
not
it.
Not at all. Everybody's renewed this year.
It's really great. I just love it. And you know, and unlike TWiT, because I have one volunteer,
Matt Grinowitzki. You have a massive.
We have 51 at the moment.
That's
who
great.
Do all the post-production work in their spare time.
That's really
and we have a tip jar that feeds them. So please donate to our tip jar. The 100, as I say, 100% of your donation goes to our volunteers who produce this content for you in their spare time.
You've got that memorized. So I actually modeled a lot of what we do on what Doug's been doing successfully all along. And it's a good model. It works pretty well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's get to our news stories of the week. And I know that, Kevin, you this I saw this on your blog, and then it was dig-dugged.
Yes. Yeah, I submitted
it. Should David set this up?
David probably should, since he's the one that told me about it originally.
It's his scoop?
Yeah, it's his scoop.
And is it true, or what do we know?
Okay, what we know. Well, should I give a little bit of background story?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, Charles Hirschhorn started the network G4.
Charles Hirschhorn.
And, you know, they purchased...
Hollywood Wunderboy. He carried coffee for...
17 Candles.
17... what's her name? 16 Candles. Yeah. The redhead. What's her name?
Molly Ringwald?
Yeah, Molly Ringwald. That's his claim to fame, right? He got coffee from Molly Ringwald.
Let's see how quick can we make a long story short.
I'm not kidding.
He convinced some people at Comcast to put in money because of the fact that video games generate a lot of money.
Bigger than movies.
He said, well, let's make a television network out of it. Then they ended up buying Tech TV, and of course Tech TV had all...
They had the opposite idea with Tech TV. Let's not make a television network out of it.
Yeah. So... let's see. Fast forward a little bit. Like he bought Tech TV, killed a lot of the tech programming, got rid of TechTV.com the way it was beforehand. And let's see. This last Friday, there was a meeting. They called a last minute meeting. Said, "Hey, everyone, come at 4 p.m. Come to this meeting." And they did a little PR thing. And when I say PR thing, basically that means that he said, "I'm not going to be in charge anymore. I'm really excited to tell you we've been looking for someone. We found someone from DirecTV, a guy named Neil something. I actually don't know the name. Neil something that used to be with DirecTV is going to be running the show, and he was excited to tell everyone about that and that he'd still be involved to some extent on the board or something like that. But that was what officially went down on
Fired,
Friday.
You think?
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's ways of pushing people out or, you know, enticing people to step down. You know, who knows if he got a golden parachute or not. But
is he going to spend more time with his family?
Yeah, that's
probably.
Yes.
But you
pursuing
know,
other interests. Right. Well, Timbuktu.
Now, basically, everything I know is through I used to work there, so I know people that you know told me exactly what happened, and so
that meeting's for sure. We know that.
That meeting's happened. For sure. That happened. So I told Kevin.
Kevin immediately.
I was like, "This is going on dig."
Immediately posted a dig story, and then like, what's interesting to see, I think, is that the immediate fallout is just the fact that everyone thinks that it's such a positive thing, and part of it is twofold.
Yeah, well, the diggers do because the dig. Remember, the diggers, many of them are Tech TV fans.
Yeah, well, and I think it's several fold. I mean, the biggest thing is. The main people that care, the people that were upset of what happened to the original TV.
Which is a small group and growing smaller by the day.
So, yeah. But the fact that he was the one in charge of it, they think that maybe, you know, this is the beginning of a change to...
Well, he was the guy who put it together, right? So if he's gone, maybe games, gear, gadgets, and gigabytes is history, you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think that they might turn it into a QVC, like selling knives or something.
Well,
who knows what's going to happen?
That's exactly right. I mean, there a lot of the excitement is the fantasy that Tech TV will reemerge.
Well, I mean, I guess it's, I mean I'm only the like I was only the Photoshop guy that shows up every once in a while, and every time I speak in every public event, I get at least four or five people who come up to me and go, "Oh, I hate what they did to Tech TV." Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's this constant. You know, I mean, I think it's a dream of a lot of people. I mean.
I mean, as much as I hate what they did to Tech TV, and of course I lost my job because of it. Although, ironically, I'm the only guy here who has a show on G4 still. So it's kind of a weird, thing right now.
Ironic.
But, I just don't see it happening. I think you're right. I think much more likely the DirecTV guy comes in and says, "Oh yeah, well, I mean, clearly Comcast gave Hirschhorn a year, said turn it around."
Right.
Didn't turn it around, right? I mean, is that...
I don't know exactly what the ratings are. I mean, there's...
Were they successful? Were they making money, do you think?
Well, the ratings went up a little bit, but they're not making money. No. I just talked to a friend of mine that works there today, and he was telling me that they all believe, like, the rumor inside of G4 right now is that it's going to go the way of kind of like a Spike TV.
Yeah.
Or,
well, that's
or
what they were doing
variety.
Anyway. Yeah.
Right, but less gaming.
So. Right. So I think... I think that's actually much more likely. It's not... A return to tech,
right.
It's going the other way even more.
Right.
Which just means there'll be just another, you know, channel.
I don't think it's going to matter. I mean, I think what by Tech TV not existing anymore.
Look what's come of that.
I think it's really moved forward, like the revolution to the fact that the people that were involved with that are doing stuff like what we're doing right now, what Kevin's doing with System Indignation, and like there's so many other people exactly like what you're doing.
Like
I mean, you've been doing it forever.
Well, you guys are starting the show. I mean, we're all working in it.
Alex and I are doing a Max show. Robert is doing with Patrick is doing Digital Life TV. Look at this. I mean, this is in a way. All the energy that the audience put into Bring Back Tech TV has really been come to fruition, but not as a return to Tech TV, but IPTV.
Well, and especially for something like Tech TV, there's no real reason. I mean, everybody, I mean, not everybody, but most of the people who are on Tech TV are going to have a relatively high-speed connection. They can download, you know, the BitTorrents.
They don't need cable.
They don't need cable. And most of us would prefer not to have it.
Now, let's not give an argument to the DirecTV guy for why he shouldn't go back to tech, by the way. I'd like to keep Call for Help on G4 for a little while, okay, if you don't mind. Do you think that cable companies, I mean, television folks are just saying, nah, tech on TV, failure, forget it?
Well, it all depends on, I mean, we know from working there that it's a very niche crowd, you know.
It is.
It doesn't really hit the masses the way that, you know, traditional television does.
I love the niche, though. What's wrong
with
the niche?
Well, there's nothing wrong with the niche. And if you can bring the niche advertisers to go along with that that pay the high dollar rates for that niche audience, then you turn a profitable company.
But can you do that? You think you can do that on IPTV?
We're doing it right now. We're starting to, we have advertisers going in next month to some of our system episodes and things that we're doing. That actually, this we're releasing a new system on Monday that has an advertiser from Adobe that is going to be really cool. But yeah, I think that the whole thing behind that is that you have a very small, you really don't have a whole lot of people working for you. You know, when you have a team of like five people working at System,
so costs are low.
Costs are low. It's really easy to turn a profit. So that's the nice thing about doing it on your own.
I think the dollars are going to follow the passion. You know, if you get a network that goes after technology in a way that treats it like everything else, you know, like selling jewelry, it's not going to be interesting. And, you know, you've proven that you can do this kind of production and have an audience. What's the audience now? How many people are listening to it?
We don't know. It's a couple hundred thousand.
It's a lot of people. Now, that's not big numbers by network television. It doesn't matter. It's enough.
It's enough for us.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
And it works. And you know, as long as you've got the talent and you're disintermediating that distribution mechanism.
I like that.
You know, this is all you need.
Right.
This works.
Yeah.
Well, and I personally think the future is the niche. You know what I mean? That, you know, as we see more and more of this, as the cost of distribution becomes something that is free or close to it, I mean, relatively to what it was, what you end up with is a whole slew of these kind of programs,
and like people a show start for every topic you could think
exactly
of,
and people
are interest,
and as long as we can find them, and you know, finding them will be the big thing, but as long as we can find them as consumers, you know, we're going to get more of what we want. We're going to get the things people talking about, what we really want to, we really want a show on Photoshop, or we just want one on our Mac.
So it's great for consumers because
awesome.
It's super niched if you can't afford to produce it, and that's kind of is there enough money in this highly focused programming?
Well, once you take out the cost of distribution, it's also you can have a whole lot of players that aren't looking for advertising. So it can also be, you know, and we talked about this previously, but it can also be people who want to promote something. So, you know, if, you know, BMW could have a whole thing about how they design their cars or
they've
how
had a
cars
very
are
successful
designed.
Successful internet ad campaign. It's done very well, I think.
So, you know, but if they made one just that was geeky about these German engineers going, now the view, we're going so look at these, you know, it would be one of those things that would
do very well for them, I think. It would reach out right to that core BMW driver.
There's probably enough people that want to know how a certain automobile is made. If they could do a special about exactly how they make their cars, and people would watch it.
It's really liberation. It's liberation from the notion of you have to produce programming that has such a mass audience because it's so expensive. It liberates you when you say, well, you don't have to have such a big audience. You can do a lot more stuff.
Well, and also, as these shows begin to diffuse the market, that's the thing that really causes problems for the advertisers, because if it's fine, if this one only has 200,000, but if 1,000 shows each are getting 200,000 viewers, that chews up the entire TV market. Then the advertisers have a hard time figuring out where to advertise, so they start producing their own shows. So it becomes the vicious cycle where they use that system because they can't find another way, you know, because the system that they had isn't working anymore, and it further tears the system.
We're seeing that. We're right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
I feel like we're right back in the heyday of the internet bubble. I mean, and just look at eBay buying Skype for $2.6 billion with a guarantee of another $1.5 billion if things go well in a couple of years.
I think it's a bargain.
What?
Yeah.
I want to... Why?
Wow.
Yeah.
Daikei says $2.6 billion is a deal.
But they're paying the money, I think, for the user base because the technology, obviously, eBay
Skype
is a big enough company.
Skype's revenues were $60 million for 2005.
They've got critical mass.
How are you?
Skype is a verb. Come on. How would you like your product to be a verb? I'm going to Skype you. I mean, that's
so what does eBay do with it to justify that?
I don't have a clue.
Well, for them, they were...
Hopefully not screwed up.
A free product only made $60 million last year, worth $2.6 billion.
But aren't they the name in...
They are. But they're not necessarily the best.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, you know?
But do you really... I mean... My parents don't know what Skype is. They've never used it before. I mean, we as geeks, we love Skype. I use Skype.
Yeah, but when mom and dad come to you and say, what should I use? You're going to say, you would say.
I'll say Vonage. Well, it's easier to set up.
They'll still say, what's that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You just got Vonage, didn't you?
Yeah.
How do you like it?
It's great, as long as Keith isn't playing Star Wars Galaxies at the same time in my house. Because otherwise it just all of a sudden starts to corrupt on me.
It does.
It's not bad. It works great. It's unbelievable. I was talking to my dad about it and talking him into actually setting up at his home. But
geeks who do use Skype might then become endeared, though, to eBay for that very reason. It's like, well, okay, it's going to fall under that umbrella company.
eBay says what they're going to do is a call center. You're going to have a button.
Yeah. Or buyers and sellers can talk to each other anonymously, where you just want to do it over the phone rather than, you know, you can actually hear the person's voice.
Move your mic in a little bit so we can hear you.
Where you can hear the person's voice that you're actually going to buy something from. And in that case, you know?
I mean, I understand why eBay would want the service. I just don't understand why they wouldn't spend their own money to build it.
Right.
I mean...
That's why I think it's... obviously, they're buying the users. The 54 million Skype subscribers, and someone here in an article I'm reading did the math
them.
And said that that's $50, almost $50 a subscriber. That's
a lot of money. Very important. They could have built their own. Google didn't build their own. They went to Global IP and licensed technology that I think sounds better than Skype.
Well, the idea that they would use it for their existing base of buyers and sellers makes no sense at all.
They gain nothing by that.
Those economics don't fly
okay,
at all.
So it's something else.
It's not the current user base.
They bought a brand
name. It's the future version, the future user base, I think, that they're paying for.
I think it's the broadcast.com. And I really think that that's exactly what I mean when I say we're back in the bubble, guys. There's a lot of fantasy thinking going on, and you're seeing it with all these new .com startups. This looks like 2000 all over again.
I mean, to me, it just looks like there were a whole bunch of people looking at Skype, and eBay had an idea that that's what they want to do, and they just needed to jump on it and
get it.
And I think they were in a rush, and I just think it's a boondoggle.
Amazing what you could do with a lot of cash. Speaking of which, Microsoft, AOL, will Microsoft, they say they're going to, I mean, there's different stories. This was broken by Newsday, I think it was Newsday in New York City. One story says they take a stake in AOL, so they kind of merge AOL MSN. Another says they buy them outright. Then another story says Google and Yahoo are next in line bidding for AOL. Is AOL on the block?
I've heard that Time Warner is looking at getting rid of. I mean,
wouldn't you want to if you were Time Warner?
A lot of push to split those back out.
Practically put Time Warner out of business, that AOL purchase. Yeah.
I don't know. AOL seems like a bad buy to me. I mean,
15 million subscribers, though. I mean, look, how many? What did you say that
Skype has 54 million?
But they're not paying. $30 a month for it.
Skype makes money when you decide that you want to place calls to regular phones.
Right. That made $60 million.
Well, I think that, but AOL I think has, if I'm correct, like 30% more users for the chat stuff than MSN. So it would be increasing.
Well, MSN is a flop.
Right.
So Microsoft says, look at Google, Yahoo. They're about to eat our lunch with portals. What can we do? Just take a stake in AOL. They're basically saying, forget MSN. AOL will be the new MSN, right?
So you're thinking just like they're going to change their... I mean, obviously, if they buy AOL, every single AOL homepage is now going to be the MSN.
Right. You combine AOL and MSN, you're the number one site on the net.
Yeah, I don't know.
It just seems to me for dial-up users.
Yeah, exactly. For dial-up users and for forcing people to go to a site. You know, it's like the thing with Google and these other, you know, is that Google, you have to make a decision on your own to launch and actually set that as your homepage and go to that site. And when you're going with MSN and... I don't know. It doesn't seem right to me. AOL doesn't seem like a good buy.
Well, it's just two vanillas.
AOL and MSN would be the number one website, beating in unique in terms of uniques and page views, beating everybody, including Yahoo.
And that's probably because it's the default page for people who don't.
Well,
know
I think that's why you get MSN, right? Yeah, because yeah. that's what comes right. up when you open Internet Explorer, and you know. So it makes. I mean, I don't think it's a bad deal for MSN.
Oh, if they can unload it, come on.
If it's great for Time Warner, if they can get that thing off their monkey off their back. But wait a minute, didn't AOL buy Time Warner? So it's just kind of.
it did, but
turning it around.
According to one of these articles that you referenced, Time Warner pulled in $42 billion in revenue last year, and 8.7 of it was from AOL. So Time Warner is obviously the behemoth.
It's the big one now. Yeah. I just I'll never forget that ugly hug between Gerald Levin and Steve Case. Remember that? they announced the partnership. I get chills still thinking about it. What else? You got the stories in front of you, David. What else is hot?
Well, let's see here. Part of the reason this whole thing went down between it might be going down between AOL and the others is because of the competition from the likes of Yahoo and Google. And you put ahead. Well, Google is always launching new services. One of their new ones is their blog search. And I don't know. I think it's kind of it doesn't work quite so well now.
Have you used it?
Yeah, you know what? When we were talking about that Charles Hirshhorn thing, so I thought I'd go to the Google blog service and see
who has blogged
about it. No, but I couldn't find it, even though people had. But
so it's not up to date.
But what I do think is neat about it is the fact that you can create RSS feeds of searches. So if the service actually does do pretty real time, like Google News, you could theoretically, I guess, like Google Alerts, you could look for when people are blogging about specific things.
And Google's kind of late to the table. They just put RSS in Google News. It's like they're discovering RSS.
But yeah.
That's the real value, though, of something like this.
I mean, that would be cool if you could just subscribe to a RSS feed and then have a certain term that you're looking for and have that content automatically updated. But this is, I mean, Technorati's doing a better job at this than Google is. And I was reading a post by Dave Weiner on this, and he was just like, why do I want to go to a separate Google site? Like, make it all inclusive into like one single unified Google tool. Why should I have to go to a separate blog search? And I agree. I mean,
well, and that may be what this is all about, because one of the things that people have always complained about is blogs polluted Google, right? Would it be nice if Google – now, I think Google really just wants to get rid of blogs out of the search, because blogs do pollute it. Look what's happened. You know, you search for failure. The number one Google result on failure is whitehouse.gov. That's because
– Google bombing.
No. Yeah, it's Google bombing. It's because blogs all got together and they all linked to, you know, Bush's White House under the word failure. And that drives Google crazy. That pollutes Google.
But don't you think Google's making some money off of blogs when it comes to advertising?
Well, they own blogger.com. I mean, clearly they thought that was a good place to be. But I think they get – yes, but they get two benefits. Mm-hmm. And this is why you won't see a single search that Dave Weiner wants. Yeah, sure, Dave Weiner wants that because he wants to promote blogging. But from the point of view of Google, this stuff pollutes Google. Let's move it off into a separate server that has, and then Google can say, oh yeah, we're not going to index blogs anymore. They've got their own search over there. They ghettoize blogs. It's actually bad for blogging.
But do you think that this is the right way that they're going about it? Because right now they're crawling the RSS feeds though. Versus like I kind of like how Technorati goes about it, where they have
the tags,
the ping, and the tags are also really cool. But it seems to me like David was saying, if the content's behind, I mean, blogs is all about being able to search his content in real time and find the results.
Well, they
you're
have to
for.
Fix that.
I mean,
maybe
they should pull the content, blog content, make it separate from the rest of the search engine.
It's polluting.
So many people with their own blog sites are just reposting information that other bloggers have posted that it just becomes.
99% of blogs are a waste of time. Don't you think blogs are, I mean, come on, blogs are a waste of time.
And I see that on Dig occasionally too, where it's like, I want to read who originally wrote this story and but it's going to go to somebody's.
Click, click.
Oh, I know. That's why
we redirect me again.
We get stories every single day that are reported because they're just simply people repurposing other content and cutting and pasting it. And that's why we have to block those.
Oh, I just read this. Let me post it on my blog.
Yeah, right. Sometimes you have to click three or four times to find the original source story, which is what you really want to read.
Well, it's funny. I mean, you see that all over the place.
Yeah. Everywhere.
From like Gizmodo's to Engadget's, like all over the place. They're repurposing news.
It's the self-referential internet. It's just there's really only seven people.
The echo chamber.
Yeah. That's what happened. I mean, bloggers really thought they were, and I suppose it's true of podcasting, were really important because they were all stroking each other. And it was just this small group of people going, yeah, isn't this great? Isn't this great? In a way that you're seeing that with podcasting too, I think. You know, we'll see that at Podcast Expo.
Yeah, but you may be the first podcast that has three cameras.
The first three camera podcast. Right. Is that wild or what?
Yeah.
I don't know what this is going to metamorphose into. I think some of the demand for video was people thought we would do the screensavers again.
I'd get my mother to look, I think.
Mom, look, he's center stage. Well, any other stories you've got there? We can actually ask the audience for their input.
Do you think that this 17-year-old who the whole Paris Hilton thing, but I actually think they're throwing him in jail for 11 months, but what I think is 10 times worse is the fact that 2 years after that whole period, he's not supposed to be able to use a net-connected device. Can you imagine every freaking device that you're going to touch from now until 2 years from now that gets developed is going to be a net-connected device?
This guy's going to be a pariah. He's not going to be able to date. He's not going to be able to do
cell phone.
He's 20 years old. I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to use the internet.
By the time he gets out, he's not going to be able to use an iPod.
Oh, yeah, because it's good.
You know, give him time to perfect his social engineering skills.
Yeah.
Deal with people.
That is a harsh punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do they really keep tabs on that stuff? I mean, did Kevin Mitnick really not go online late at night when he's kind of sitting there?
So we had Mitnick on the screensavers, supposedly his first day on the internet. I never bought it that he'd never been on the internet.
But you have to say that.
Well, I'm not going
to
accuse him.
Prison.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah, I don't want him to go back to jail. I'm not going to accuse him of anything. But really, come on.
Yeah.
Now maybe we could. Is there a statute of limitations? Maybe when that's what we should have. We'll have a special twit. Kevin Mitnick's statute of limitations expires, and we can ask him. So you were on the net, weren't you? Come on, nudge.
Yeah.
Wozniak gave him this. This tells you how long ago it was. Wozniak gave him a power book. Really nice. We were all excited. Yeah. Gigahertz power. Ooh, gigahertz power book. That was the fastest thing out there at the time.
Remember, he was selling his old laptops on eBay, the ones that he got caught with.
Oh, was he? Yeah, that's
right. Wait, he gave you something. What do you have?
His wallet that he got caught with.
Mitnick gave you his wallet.
Yeah. He gave me his wallet.
Boy, he never gave me nothing. He gave you his wallet, really?
Yeah, I got it signed and everything.
He doesn't know that he gave it.
Picked the pocket.
Picked it.
Oh, you should invite Kevin Mitnick to be on.
I will. Yeah, I'd love to.
Are they still dating?
Darcy and Kevin? I don't know.
I haven't talked to Darcy in so long.
She's listening right now. You want to say anything to her?
Hi, Darcy. How you doing?
I miss Darcy.
Email me.
Do we have to tell
people
who Darcy is now?
Darcy worked on the screensavers. Yeah. She was quite a character.
With the little bunny ears.
She used to wear bunny ears.
She owned that Asteroids machine.
That's right.
That was really nice of her. She let us have that. Yeah.
Atari Asteroids coin up.
Reconditioned.
Oh.
And then, so she was working. She's quite an attractive young lady. And we had Kevin on the show a couple of times. Mitnick, not Rose.
Right.
And he had eyes for her. So they started dating. And then he stole her away.
Yeah.
And you can visit her at labmistress.com.
That's her website, labmistress.com.
What does it say? What is she doing? Is it saying?
They just got a bunch of
baby photos.
Last time I talked to Kevin, which was about 6 months ago, something like that, I arranged it through her. So I think she's like still working.
There is something on the website called the Mitnick Monitor, Keeping Up with Kevin.
It ain't easy. That guy, I mean, you want to do well in life. Go to jail for a few years as a hacker. He's on lecture tour nonstop.
He was on like Alias or something like that. You know that show?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on there as an extra or something like that as a hacker. And
yeah, he's like he's making tons of money. And
that's awesome.
Last time I talked to him, he had just come from Singapore. He was in Australia the week before that. He's on. Yeah. His new book is out. We'll get him on.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, I love Kevin.
I like Kevin.
We'll definitely get him on. He gave you his wallet, huh?
Yeah.
I gave him my entire Tom Petty collection because he just got out of jail and he wanted some music, and he gave you his wallet.
Nice. Oh, man.
Okay, it's all right. I'm not sensitive. It's okay.
I can bring it. You can check it out if you want, Leo.
Is it cool?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll take it back with me, but you can check it out if you want.
You should put it in plastic or something.
It is. Yeah. It's in an FBI envelope.
Oh, even
like
better.
The FBI label across the.
Oh, you
like,
got to frame
evidence.
That. Put it on the wall.
Yeah, it's in my eBay closet. eBay.
If you need money, if you ever need money, if the system thing doesn't work out.
Done.
Hey, tell us about the episode that's coming out on Monday.
Yes, we have a brand new episode coming out. It's going to be all about how to podcast. And you're in it, Leo.
I heard that.
Yes, we actually we start with the basic hardware. And then we show an advanced setup, which is, of course, your setup.
It's more advanced now. Look at this.
I know. It's gotten pretty crazy.
It's gotten crazier and crazier.
But, so if you ever wanted to create your own podcast, it's pretty much anything and everything you'll need to know to be able to post it online and create it from the hardware that you need to buy to compressing and uploading. And
we should have interviewed Doug for this.
The pioneer.
Yeah.
What do you think of podcasting, Doug? You think it's going places? You think this is a flash in the pan? It's another. I never really know what.
It's already gone past that, I think.
It's already established.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, who knows what it actually becomes.
Total, what do your total downloads look like for all of the?
Well, we did 11 terabytes of audio in July. So,
wow.
That's a lot. I'm not sure what the numbers work out to be. I didn't bring the sheet.
I think we're around that. We did 27 terabytes. Well,
we do it with more shows on fewer listens per show.
Right.
It gets up there. I think, I think the most telling sign about podcasting is probably the recent investments in Adam Curry's company, Pod Show, where you've got Kleiner Perkins.
Yeah. That's...
And who was the other one? Was it Sequoia?
Sequoia. Yeah.
KP was the big one.
They invested $8.55 million. Dollars doesn't matter. The real key here is that John Doerr and Ray Lane are personally on their board of directors.
Wow.
And those guys, they don't give up their time easily. So I think the key is that this is not podcasting, I don't think. They call it podcasting, but I think there's something much, much bigger afoot here.
What is Pod Show? What is he trying to do?
Pod Show is... I would say it's a company that's trying to, take advantage of every opportunity in podcasting, which is advertising, content, distribution, all the pieces of it. But I think, in fact, there's something much bigger going on. And I look at it this way. I say, well, what's the next NBC? What's going to be the NBC that incorporates the buying habits and the watching and listening habits?
That's what he wants to be.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think, if you look at iTunes and imagine where that's going,
right.
If you look at what's happening in the music industry today, the distribution is changing dramatically, recognizing that in film and television and to some extent radio, distribution is going to change also. I think it's going to be quite different.
I have to say that's one of the things that kind of bugs me about Pod Show is it looks like it's an attempt to build a big business out of which is grassroots.
There's room for all of us, though.
Yeah.
I'm doing it nonprofit. I'm going really the other extreme.
Right. I'm doing it nonprofit, but not on purpose.
But I think from our perspective, if we can get everybody able to listen on a much larger scale, that's going to be good for all of us.
Right.
So I think it's interesting. I mean, I'm fascinated to watch it.
You'd like to do that, Kevin, with Revision 3. You'd like to build a network, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I really like the fact that we're putting together. I mean, Martin Sargent just agreed to do.
Are you kidding?
A podcast with us.
Oh, that's great!
So he's going to be putting out a podcast here.
What's
he going to
do?
I think it's kind of a hybrid of what Unscrewed was and change the name.
Is it video or audio?
It's going to be audio initially. It's called Infected. Is what it's going to be called?
Great.
So which is just another. It's pretty much going to be the podcast version.
It's not a
of what
podcast.
Unscrewed
it's a puscast.
But you probably can get a little bit of a hint of what kind of stuff it'll be just by visiting his website.
Yeah.
I think.
What is the URL?
I think it's what is it? SargeWorld.com?
Yeah, SargeWorld.
There was a fake one, but this is the real one.
That's the real one, and really, it's Martin Sargent, the character.
Yeah, quite a
definitely,
character.
Definitely.
Well, I always thought Marty could do a great podcast. In fact, I wanted to get him on here, but he's in L.A., so.
But yeah.
Marty, if you're listening, come up. Be part of the show. Is he going to be doing it down there?
He'll be doing it down there.
Joey.
Joey's
the intern.
That's an unholy alliance.
But he's Joey is extremely capable, and so he's going to be the technical. He's going to be the technical driving force of getting this thing.
Because
what they're going to do is they're going to record that, give it to us. He's going
to
do.
Because Martin's really
editing,
too out of it to do anything like that. I mean,
I don't know.
Is he?
I mean, Joey also built SargeWorld.com, so.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, everybody like Martin needs somebody like Joey to kind of prop him up.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean that Martin wants to focus on the artistic, and Joey somebody needs somebody to put a microphone in front of him. Okay, you're not saying a thing.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
One of the things that you posted also was the, Microsoft putting out, more going head-to-head with Adobe.
Now, I think this is actually very interesting. I'd like to hear what you think of this, Alex. Microsoft does want to eat Adobe's lunch. They want to get in that Photoshop space. They have this new
expression. Well, I think they want to get into
expression.
The Elements. I think they want to get into the Elements space.
The low end?
I don't think that they're...
People have been saying they've been writing an Adobe Photoshop killer for a while, though.
Yeah. I think that the problem is that, the people who are really paying for Photoshop... I mean, there's a lot of people who aren't paying for Photoshop, but for the people who are paying for Photoshop, the designers, all of those other things, they're not... I don't think they're going to be using buying a Microsoft product anytime soon, away from what they're doing. I think that the real market there, what Adobe has left open for a long time is this they have Elements, which is very crippled compared to, you know, the full Photoshop.
Right.
And then they have no space in between. I mean, there's, you know, there's a $650 Photoshop.
No middleware.
There's rumors that the next version of Photoshop will split. So you'll have a photo, like the base, you'll have Photoshop that is less expensive, that has some of, like
an SE version or a...
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there's some things that are in Photoshop that are pretty esoteric. I mean, guys like me use it, but a lot of people, like HDR. How many? Most people who use Photoshop don't even know what HDRs are, and there's a feature in there that'll build your own HDRs from a series of photos.
I don't know what an HDR is.
High dynamic range. It takes a whole bunch of exposures and sticks them all
into
one.
So you're saying Microsoft
super...
can't get into that space?
No, I'm saying that Microsoft is going to... I think they're going to put more pressure on Adobe to put more features into either Photoshop Elements or bring a version of Photoshop into the $200 or $300 range that people can really afford. There's so much standardization. Photoshop is so mature and so much, you know, owns so much of the market. I mean, it's basically the Microsoft of image editing,
right,
in a lot of ways. I think the problem with Microsoft is they're going to do what they, you know, they're going to do what they always do, which is they're going to build a lukewarm, kind of half-done version of something that is already pretty good. What is good is that somebody's going to get push Adobe a little bit, because Adobe is, you know, the development... They have to keep it stable, so it's a very slow development, but it would be really nice to get them pushed to make a cheaper
competition
version.
Competition wouldn't hurt.
It would be really great to have to get cheaper versions of Photoshop,
right,
you know, which I think Adobe could make a lot more money if they had a version of Photoshop that was $299 or
what do you,
you know.
What do you think of the whole open source GIMP project?
GIMP is, I think it's really cool. I know that there's some production companies that use it, because for a long time it had features that Photoshop didn't have, you know, some of the 16-bit editing and the high, you know, and some really specific things. But the problem that it really needs, what it really needs is an overhaul, you know, of the interface, of the user experience.
Speaking of which, my buddy Scott Michella just created a version of GIMP called GIMP Shop.
Yeah. That's wild. Now, GIMP Shop's been out for a while, but it's getting a lot of attention now. He's a producer at AOTS.
Yeah,
he's
my old roommate back in L.A.
Now, he said he's not a programmer, but how did he do this?
Well, basically, I mean, there's just a bunch of files that you can edit before you
the
compile.
The resources.
Right?
So he's just editing the resources.
Yeah, he's just rearranging the menus, renaming a lot of the menu things to be, you know, all Photoshop menus. So if you go into GIMP Shop, launch it, it looks
just like Photoshop.
Just like Photoshop. All the menu options are exactly the same.
I was thrilled that he did that.
Is that cross-platform?
Yeah. It's
OS X. Well, he made it for OS X, and it was popular enough that other people made it, so it was a version that would work in Linux, a version that would work in Windows.
Didn't the GIMP, you know, purists get mad at him?
Oh, yeah, they were pissed. It was so funny, because when he originally, he's like, oh, I need some help, and I was watching him through this entire process, and he posted to some of the GIMP, like, official websites, and asking, they're like, don't even go there. We're not going to help you. So he had to do it all on his own.
Well, he did it.
And that's what's held, but I would argue that's what's held GIMP back for so long, are the people who created, you know, and this is always, you know, the revolutionaries who created it, you know, didn't want it, they don't want to be just another Photoshop, but that's what they need to be, you know, when I was working at Lucasfilm, we had this meeting with, at the time, Meta Creations, who had Painter, and they were... and they asked, they were like, how can we get you to use Painter instead of Photoshop? And we were like, well, make it look more like Photoshop.
Right.
I know all the menus. I don't want to learn something
new. He didn't
new.
Add any functionality. He's not a programmer. Right. All he did is make the menus
change
conform.
Change the user interface.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was just interviewed by some of the guys that do the open source, O'Reilly's open source publication.
Yeah.
And the beginning of that article said that he's straddling the line between upsetting the people at Adobe and upsetting all the developers of the original developers.
He made a lot of end users happy. I think it was a great thing, a great idea to do. And what I really like is he's not a programmer. He just said, you know, it's easy. I'll just change the menus a little bit.
Yeah. I think for people who want to play with photos, I think it's a really great option. I think for pros, what a Photoshop brings is this incredible stability, interactive. You know, for the pros, they're not going to, but for people getting into it, $650 is a lot of money to buy for an image editor.
The pros have the money.
Yeah,
they can afford
it. It's well worth it. If that's what you do, it's well worth it.
And once again, hopefully this pushes Adobe to give us more features and elements or a more affordable version. And I don't think it has to be $50. I think it can be $199 or $249. But they need a version that's much closer to the ground than...
Well, $199, that sounds nice.
$199 would be... For
it's
something
a good price point.
If it didn't do everything, it would be fine. I mean, if it didn't do 16-bit, like most people don't even know why they would use 16-bit. Pros all know why. Mm-hmm. They use 16-bit or 32-bit to not have, you know, maybe not even have access to CMYK space. I mean, you know, that kind of thing for the $199 version. That starts to make a lot more sense.
Well, I thought that was kind of the idea of Elements, was it was pretty close to that.
It was. And then, of course, the problem for people like me is that they take out stuff like, I mean, they take out things that are, they cripple things that I don't think are appropriate, like... They take out channels, right, you know, which just takes out
That's 99% of the functionality of Photoshop.
I mean, for like little retouching and everything else, it is what it is. But right. for big stuff, it becomes a real issue right. when you can't do anything really cool if you can't get a hold of the channels.
So TiVo
I think we want Robert to talk about this. So Engadget published the picture, and it's pretty clear that in the version 7 of TiVo,
7.2, which is a beta actually.
Well, a broadcaster's going to be allowed to set a flag. They call it the red flag that deletes the show. It says you can only keep the show for X number of days, and then we're going to erase it from your hard drive.
There are three modes. It's Macrovision. That's all it is. They've added Macrovision support fully, and two reasons TiVo did that was, one, so that they could offer the ability to burn stuff to a DVD and still retain some kind of copy protection on that. That's really the number one.
So when you burn it to a DVD from the TiVo, it will put Macrovision on there? So
you actually have to a media access key that you end up using.
Is that TiVo to go, or is it something separate?
No, that is. It is TiVo to go.
It is TiVo to go.
It's the function that allows you to drag that content into your PC right. and then use a special burning app with the key that's
What's the story with this screen? Because I'm looking at Engadget, and it says, you know, thanks for recording this program. You have 7 days to watch it.
Well, up to this point, they've said it's only going to apply to premium content, like pay-per-view events.
Well, this is like a PBS show.
But it was revealed that they can actually, any broadcaster.
The broadcaster could flip it.
Any broadcaster could. And that's where I really think this probably happened, was that they probably have so much equipment sitting around
there's
in the broadcast,
data.
And it was probably defaulted to say, you know what, enable Macrovision. Nobody else is using it. Who cares? And then all of a sudden you have
But
a
the
device.
Macrovision, I thought, was just copy protection. This actually deletes the file.
There's just, they can flag it to say you can never copy it, or for the next 7 days, it can be unlimited. You can do whatever you want with it for the next 7 days.
Oh, so this was that you can't copy it, not that you... Not that it will delete it.
The copying part also relates to that you can have networked TiVos, and you can actually send content from one TiVo to another, and then doing that and then being able to reburn it off, say, with some of the set-top DVD recorders that they had. It's just a way for them to limit it, and it's standard. I don't imagine very many broadcasters are going to enable that just to keep it easy.
Well, you know, Real Audio has something similar. You just flip this bit, and people can't record it, and everybody flips it.
If every broadcaster does start using this.
Why is TiVo doing this, though? It seems like such a stupid move
for them.
They're
going to shoot themselves in the foot because nobody wants a machine that restricts how long. Like, I don't want to suddenly...
Oh, it doesn't create a big hack community.
I stayed away from my TiVo for 10 days, and suddenly half of my content, you know, can keep it for only a week.
Is gone?
Yeah.
Well, and it's going to...
Until I say delete, no longer works.
What's the point of having a TiVo if it deletes itself?
Well, it's great business for the PC DVRs. I mean, we have both the digital and the analog Elgato for the Mac that we have at the office, and those things, there's nothing. I mean, you know, it we can get digital broadcasts, you know, or we can get the analog stuff off the cable, and it's not maybe quite as refined as TiVo, but it records to MPEG to straight to the drive as it's capturing. You know, I can schedule it, I can do all those things, and I don't have to deal with, you know, I always look at it like I don't have to deal with any of the TiVo stuff, you know.
What about the recorders that you get from the cable companies and the satellite companies that are not TiVo? Do they have that same feature?
They could very well enable it as well. And I imagine from their end, they have...
They have more incentive to do it than TiVo does.
I would think so. Definitely.
Why is TiVo doing this, like, willingly? Like, why...
I think there's a lot of pressure on TiVo, don't you?
There's a lot of legal pressure.
They just had their first... I mean, they're in a world of hurt right now.
Well, they're looking at replay. They're saying, there we do not want to go.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there's a... Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? But, I mean, for instance, as soon as people started hacking the TiVo enough so they could extract video from it, they started scrambling the video so that you couldn't do it. All along, they've been doing this.
You think TiVo's dead?
Yeah.
A year from now?
Yeah.
I don't know about a year from now, but I think...
It's a shame because
the broadcasters start enabling this flag on all the...
And they're gonna.
Standard
It's
content.
A shame because...
So?
Yeah. I really...
That's
yeah,
really
absolutely.
The,
if they can, they'll flip it. Which means you can't go on a vacation longer than 7 days.
That will kill TiVo if that happens.
Yeah. I think they're dead.
But I
mean, here's a great product.
To go, will they back
World's
off?
Greatest word of mouth. What happened?
Well, what happened is that you have all of a sudden, you know, HD content and digital content, and there was no clean way to interface. You had to do that stupid little serial cable, that stupid IR switcher. Everybody wants one single unified
one box.
And when Comcast started launching their HD boxes with a DVR built in, and they had all these cable providers that are launching DVRs, I mean,
it's cool. $10 a month.
Yeah, it's cool how TiVo can kind of suggest things for you, but not cool to where you'd want to go through all the pains of having that
the best
conversion.
Part of TiVo was the season pass. That's something very few other software.
TiVo does it better than anyone else. Everybody hates their cable company PVR. but they still do it because it's all inclusive.
And, I mean, well, think about it. Right now, I want to record an HD show on my TiVo. I can't do it unless I have that HD one from DirecTV. And that sucks. I don't know. I mean, they've been promising one with a cable card slot, and, you know, obviously cable cards, we're not seeing them quite yet. When are cable cards coming out, Robert? Do you
cable
know?
Cards are out now.
So you can buy one from, you can get one from Comcast right now?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So that they're making that mandatory,
not in every
right?
every market, no. I mean, on the TVs, will that be mandatory? I don't know.
What's the cable card?
It gets rid of the box altogether.
It's like a PCMCI slot on the back of your TV, and it'll, instead of having a separate set-top box for your cable tuner.
But that's cool, because then you can have an HD TiVo, and then just plug in that cable card right in the back, and then you don't have to have that extra box, in theory, right?
Yeah. It just eliminates that hardware. But the problem is, right now, the current devices are only one way. Where you can receive information, but you couldn't do like a pay-per-view event and say, yes, I want to see that.
Oh,
and
that
then it
sucks.
Would transmit. The second generation will, but that's not out yet.
Yeah.
It's just
a bad time for
and
TiVo.
And then it requires the TV to also have an integrated electronic programming guide, because that wouldn't be part of
right.
it. There's some issues to it, but a lot of people like it simply because the visual quality is better than an external box. Having that tuner actually stuck into the TV with that kind of a direct connection just makes the picture quality itself better, but... It's really not until DirecTV is launching their MPEG-4 stuff now, and so is Dish Network. They're actually starting to transition as well. When that really gets going, you're going to see the set-top recorders that are MPEG-4 capable. That is where I think you can really see serious challenges to TiVo and anybody else doing PBR.
DirecTV dumped TiVo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were going to...
So if I have a DirecTV box, it still says TiVo, though.
You can still buy them.
Yeah, they're still out there.
But going forward...
Lifetime service will never go away... supposedly.
Yeah.
Well, until that box dies, and then you have to buy a new box.
Yeah.
So our partners at AOL finally launched their podcasting page. We're right there up on front. So they've been providing us bandwidth for 2 months for this day. You know, now we're on the... So they have a number of different podcasts. Do they have some of your podcasts, Doug, on the AOL podcast channel? Well, they
have
to ask
you. I should go. Oh,
no, they have to ask you. It's not like Adam Curry where they could just take it.
Well... Replay you.
I don't know.
I'm serious.
Just replay you without permission.
You got replayed, right?
I keep thinking of the dial-up users who are going to download these huge shows.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You got replayed? He played you on Sirius?
Apparently, and I sent him a note saying, Adam, I heard that Twit was on Sirius. You know, we have a non-commercial.
Right.
You can't use it for commercial purposes. And he says, sent me a note back saying, didn't anybody ask you? I'm pretty sure we asked you.
Really?
And I said, well, he said, we sent a note to somebody. I said, well, I'm the only person you would ask, and I didn't get any note.
Yeah. He did the same thing with Dignation. And
he did. He just did it.
And we had no note or anything.
So what happened? So that, apparently that's what he's doing. He's just running stuff.
I didn't say anything. I was like, I don't care.
The only reason I care, I don't really care, because it's good promotion. I think that's what he's assuming, is everybody's going to want the promotion, except that AOL specifically said, because I asked him, I said, well, where else can we play it? And they said, anywhere but Sirius. And the reason is they have a deal with XM.
Right.
So, you know, I just said, yeah, stop. And he stopped. Right. And he said, by the way, you want to be part of this pod show? And I didn't answer. So maybe now that he's got 8.5 million, I'll be part of pod show. I don't want to be part of a, you know, I don't want us to be a part of a big network. I like, you know, we just do what we want to do.
Yeah.
If you're part of a big network, we'd have to, like, you
it's
know.
Fun to be independent for that reason.
Yeah,
you've got got the most popular podcast probably of all of them.
So we don't have to worry
about it.
We
don't need anybody. I don't need you.
They did also, and I'm really pleased, you were the one, Doug, who told me about Podscope. Mm-hmm. They incorporated Podscope, which is an incredible podcast search. Have you played with Podscope?
No, I haven't.
Podscope is wonderful. Apparently they're... they're listening to the, what do you call that? The character recognition. The opposite.
Voice recognition.
The other side of that. So that they can index the audio.
And the main company is called TV Eyes, and their business has been doing voice recognition on broadcast channels for a fee for their customers. So if you're Microsoft and you want to know every time your company's mentioned, or IBM every time your company's mentioned, you pay them to let you know and to listen to all the streams.
That makes sense, because they came out of nowhere so quickly.
Right. Now, they've been doing it for a long time. All the technology, turns out, it comes from just one or two places.
Yeah.
So you've got Podscope, you've got a company called Blinks, and a couple of others. The old companies were Virage and Autonomy, and there was all of that. All that old technology, which is now just being reused. You know, they've been doing it for
a long
time.
It works well. Do a search for Kevin Rose on that. What's neat about it is that it will not only pull up the references, but you can play it from that point. You can play the audio from that point.
Yeah.
So if you want to just hear who's talking about Kevin Rose, you just press play and you can hear it.
They've got a nice new feature, too, which you'll be able to add to the Twit podcast, which is not just is it their site where you look at all podcasts, but you'll be able to have a private search for Twit. So you can just search.
I can put it on the site that says search Twit for.
That's right. That's going to be very
nice.
When's
that start?
I don't know. I've seen it on a couple of sites. I think it's in beta, whatever that means.
I'd love to try that.
It's going to be out.
In beta.
That's the real problem. And people have said that right from the beginning with podcasts is unlike a written word, they're not random access.
You're right. That excerpt feature is marvelous.
Oh,
now, the key about it is it's dictionary based. So they can only find words that they know ahead of time.
Right.
So if they search for some proper names that aren't in the dictionary, it doesn't work at all.
But the interesting thing is they have been adding stuff because I can search for my name and it finds it.
Yep.
So, and I'm not in the dictionary. So,
but you're a very important person.
I guess so. So they are adding words to the searches.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's really interesting. Well, I think that was smart of AOL to incorporate that because that'll make it much more usable for AOL subscribers.
Yeah, that was their big announcement. And they put things together very, very quickly. I think the podcast thing was done in about 4 weeks. That's how long it took to put that together.
The AOL thing or the Podscope?
No, Podscope. From the time they said, let's do it.
It just, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you showed it to me, and that was a month or two ago. And
right.
It's gotten better every day, too, by the way, I've noticed. Are you playing with it right
now?
Yeah,
I just did some searches.
Did you find it?
Yeah.
Find stuff from Dignation?
Lee LaPorte, boom.
Did you find stuff from Dignation?
I didn't do a search for Dignation.
Because I don't know if they do every podcast yet. I mean, I'm sure that they do the top ones. You're certainly in the top there. You flew to L.A. to do Dignation this time.
Yeah, we're flying back and forth every other.
Because Alex is down there?
Yeah, Alex is coming up. Actually,
he must have frequent flyer miles like crazy.
I do the Southwest like $99. Done deal.
Man. It is pretty easy to
get down
there.
It's 45 minutes in the air.
Yeah.
It's like you're there. But it's a lot of fun. We go back and forth. He's coming up here for the next 3 weeks, so that'll be good.
You excited about NASA going to the moon, David?
Oh, that's a big. I mean, that's just too much. It's too much. Yeah, they got a deal between now and 2011. They're retiring the shuttle in 2010. They want to have their next vehicle up by 2011, but they're going
to
have several vehicles because they're
going,
going to have a crew exploration vehicle, and then they're going to have a separate vehicle for taking cargo up, and they're going to spend $11 billion
I'm
on this.
The shuttle's gone, though.
$6 billion on that.
Hopefully, they will not launch that ever again.
The reason they're going to the moon is because they want to prove that they can go there and be resource efficient. They want to prove that they can go there and live off the land.
What land? It's rocks.
No, I'm serious.
There's in the southern pole of the moon, there's more hydrogen. There's possibly some water ice, that's there.
Is this part of the Mars program, or is this just its own thing?
It's a precursor to it.
It's all part of Mars.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's funny that it's going to take us longer after 35 years, it's going to take us longer to get there again than it did
another
the first
decade.
Time. So it's,
I honestly think it adds fuel to the fire. There's a huge community that says, we didn't go to the moon.
Right.
And sometimes you think, you got to do this development, spend the, a decade of development, spend billions and billions of dollars. And here we are in 2005, but they went there
the
in 19. 19-
Oh, yeah, there's lots of people that think there was a TV studio.
Hey, you gave me $100 billion, and I'll make a very convincing film that makes everyone think that we went back, and we'll just call it a day.
Put the money into Lucasfilm.
Exactly. We'll make it work.
Those stories did point out, though, that they're looking at using repurposing, like, the main shuttle engine as well as the
five of them. I think they were using it.
They want to use that to
new devices.
To reduce the development time. Using the same SRBs and they're using the same external fuel tank design, they're using the same shuttle main engines.
I think it's great. I mean, this is inspiring.
And they made it a point.
I mean, you don't really need to do manned exploration. You don't learn anything more in manned exploration. But boy, it's great.
It's cool.
It's just cool.
It's sexy.
Yeah, it's sexy. That's why you do it, right?
Well, they've
Well, Leo, where were you in July of 1969?
I know exactly where I
was. Were you watching it?
Doug and I are the only guys in this room old enough to remember. You bet I was.
You're watching it. You can't stop.
And I was 12 years old.
You're watching these guys on the moon, and you walk out. It was a full moon.
Never forget it.
And you walk out, you look up, you say, nah.
Wow. You didn't believe it?
No, I believed it.
It's amazing.
It was so overwhelming.
Mind-blowing to see that.
Have you been down to Florida to view the Saturn V in the museum? And
I've seen a landing at the Edwards. That's the only thing I've seen.
I mean, they have the restored Saturn V, Smithsonian quality hanging above you.
Those things are huge,
massive, three-stage. But then it's like they let you relive that entire day of the moon landing with the news clips and everything.
Hey, for those of you who are too young to remember it, it's
by a
really,
month, baby.
Really? Yeah. That's all?
Yeah. Another argument for both, when you're dealing with launching from either the space station or the moon, is that getting it to somewhere else takes a lot less fuel when you do it from space.
Low gravity or zero gravity,
I mean, almost all the fuel we use is to get us out of the Earth's atmosphere.
Right.
So the thing is if we can get if we can build something that's much larger on the moon or on a space station or whatever, there's a lot more stability as far as being able to. It's much easier to get.
I just think we need somewhere to go when the hurricanes start to get really bad.
We need a space elevator.
Well, you know, they've said. I think there was an announcement that we're past the point of no return on global warming.
Oh, it's all.
I heard someone said that it was like
that was the story.
Momentum is here.
That was the story in USA Today. It's that's why we're having all these big hurricanes. It's too late. It's the. What was that movie? It's the
it's the day after tomorrow.
Waterworld.
Actually, it was Waterworld. It's a takeoff on that.
Is it? That's what's left.
Well, that was what was supposed to have happened. There, all the polar ice caps melted, and you know, there's no land.
We would be underwater here.
We'd have some great lakefront property.
Be great.
Yeah, exactly. Just start. What you have to do is make calculations, and then start building your. Just start buying up lots of land. You know, right along the along the new shore. So,
well, luckily here they're still above sea level.
Let's get some questions from the audience. If you have a question for the Twits, you could run up to the red microphone there and ask. And they're all looking like, I didn't mean to wake you up. You probably didn't hear anything we said, did you? Okay, well, that's been an exciting portion of the program. I think we'll do that again
next week. The speaker.
but before someone runs up there, I want to ask a question. What does everyone think of the new Nintendo Revolution controller? Robert Heron's cousin Ted Rogulski is a big fan of it. It's a they just released it. It looks like a TV remote.
It's a remote control.
You can turn
I don't get
it sideways, and it's got a motion sensor.
It sounds like it's a gyro. You know the gyration mice that allow you to just use it in the air, and it has a very good. What the hell is that thing?
You thought Nintendo Motion thumb was tracking. Bad. Now you're going to have Nintendo wrist by holding your hand out the whole time.
But then
time.
It's got a cord separate from that, so you have the analog stick in one hand, and then basically you have a device.
Is Nintendo a player in this market at all?
It's for the kids. You know, they're going after the...
They have Mario.
Well, they got to do
they
something
Zelda.
Different. They got to do something
and
different
Zelda.
Because they got to distinguish them some.
You got PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
But if they price it low enough, everyone's going to buy. I bought it just for Zelda, the old GameCube.
Did you really?
Well, I'm a huge Zelda fan from way back when.
$500 for the latest generation console. Oh, and the Xbox comes out, what, next month?
Next month.
Is it next month?
Yeah.
November.
In time for Christmas. Yeah.
Are you going to get one for your kids?
Oh, yeah. But I have to hack it.
Yeah.
Right? Because my Xbox is a thing of beauty, thanks to somebody I won't name in this room.
That's
great.
Is that your media center?
No, I just use it for games, but it's loaded with games. I mean, it's full of games. I probably have 100 games on that hard drive.
Well, Nintendo said, I think that they said that they were going to include, you're going to be able to download and play all the previous games that they made.
But that's one thing that nobody's done well, which is backward compatibility.
Xbox games or
Nintendo.
Nintendo.
Oh,
so
over
the internet. Said, I'm not sure if it's
that's
the original,
nice,
but
that
it,
is
it was
very nice.
And then that's what
it'll take like 5 seconds. Yeah. It's so small.
It's 37K.
Mike Tyson punch out. Boom. Tecmo Bowl. Boom.
Have you ever downloaded
ROMs?
No, just like VisiCalc is online. You can download VisiCalc, the first spreadsheet program. It's 37K. It's like...
They embed them in web pages and let you or utilize classic apps.
This
like
stuff
that.
Is not particularly
so how you do
demanding.
Taxes?
Yeah, VisiCalc. Yeah. I still, those slash commands, I got them built into my fingers. Go ahead and ask a question. What's your name first?
Hey, guys. My name's Neil. I'm from Ottawa, Canada.
Hi, Neil.
All right.
What
How's
brings
going?
You down here?
Hey. Meeting Larry at Oracle conference.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah. So here's the situation. I love my tech toys, and I love my wife. I want to keep both. How do you guys do it? How do you guys get permission?
Here, let me give you a Twit pocket protector. This every woman wants one of these, I'll tell you right now. I'll give you two.
Melt in my arms.
So how long have you been married?
3 years.
Well, I know Doug Kay's solution is... you moved everything out of the house.
Studio 2. My wife and I share Studio 2. We have two desks facing one another.
So you work
and
with her.
We work in the same room. She has nothing to do with what I do. But the best thing was when she went away for a week, I covered my side of the office with acoustic foam.
So your marriage isn't too good either.
Well, it's only been 34 years.
She's doing all right. You know, my wife is not a geek at all. She's not has no interest in this. She's never heard... Twitch. She's seen
really?
Very little of any of my TV shows. Same with my kids. It's just a different life, you know. And I just try to, you know, pretend I'm going to work. And then
is that when you buy the new laptops and the new screens, you say, "Oh, it's work
it's all
related.
For work.
It's all for
work. It's
yeah.
all
yeah.
for work, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's all for work.
Hey, when I work on movies. When I go to a movie, it's all for work.
Everything.
As
yeah.
Good
yeah.
cover story is what you're saying.
Good cover story.
Kevin just changes girlfriends every
that's
few
right.
weeks.
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I should have said that. Oh, Amber's going to be here next week for
week.
Twit.
She'll be
I'm
here.
I'm very excited
That's
about
right.
that. Yeah. See you, Ted. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. My
Ted took the ferry. Anybody who took the ferry here, you should probably get going because the ferry leaves at 5:30. So please leave. That's a good question, though. How do you keep your spouses from?
You've got to make sure that your spouse has the same kind of passion that you don't share, and let their spouse go and do their thing too.
And that's it. Now, does your wife detect
my,
at all?
My wife is in the martial arts. Right, so she'll go off and do her martial arts stuff, and I'll do my tech stuff. Wow. And
well, same thing with my wife. No interest in tech, but she has her own passion.
Yeah,
and then we meet for dinner.
Yeah.
Fiance works at the.
She's
a CFO. Yeah, so she tells me what I'm allowed to spend and what I'm not. Nice. But has her have some sense of control, which he does. And I have to ask for permission for everything. So
and Robert just dates strippers, and they don't care.
We're really wrong.
I have good looking neighbors.
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Hurston. I'm here from San Francisco.
Hi, Hurston.
Hello. My question is, do you guys listen to podcasts other than ones you're involved in? And if so, what are some of your favorites?
Great question.
Yeah. My favorite podcast is Ira Flatow Science Friday, actually.
That's really... I hear a lot of people listen to that.
And
now,
they put out a lot of them, and they separate... Like, sometimes they'll have three or four topics on the radio, but they'll separate them into individual subjects so you can download the ones that you want
to listen to. It's NPR. Almost all the NPR shows now are starting to be a podcast. I think it's very smart of it.
Except for All Things Considered, which is the one that I want.
They do their music... And they do like headlines. I know. I wish they do All Things
Makes
Considered.
Makes me crazy.
Fresh Air needs to be a podcast.
Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Those are the only two that I really, you know, like if they just handled that, I would have no need for a
and
radio.
And why wouldn't you if you're public radio? What do you got to lose, right? It's not like you're going to undercut your, I don't know. Maybe they don't
want to. Well, there's a big fight going on in public radio between the people who produce the content and NPR. You know, NPR is sort of the evil empire.
I see. And so they don't like it that they're...
Well, you know, the NPR just launched their official podcast, about 2 weeks ago, was it, I think, NPR.org?
Yep.
And I think most of the stations who contribute content contributed their second-tier content to that.
Yes.
They didn't put their best stuff up
That's
there.
Right.
And things like Fresh Air are privately produced. I mean, they're not produced by a station.
Right.
That's Terry Gross's show.
What do you listen to? You probably don't have a whole lot of time, Doug.
I don't even listen to everything we produce.
Yeah, 12 an hour, 12 hours a week.
When I want to take a break, I've got two music podcasts I like. One is Roadhouse, which is blues, and Coverville is still pretty good with a lot of unusual covers.
Yeah, I love Coverville.
But just too much for me.
That's probably the biggest problem with podcasting right now. There are too many of them. And it's almost overwhelming. You feel like I can't keep up, and you kind of give up because there's just too much.
I think there is a big market. I think people are working on it of being able to sort through like what people really like. I mean, obviously the top 20 in iTunes helps because you get to see what stuff. But like I dig like one of my favorite. I listen to like Dig Nation and watch Command N and then I watched, I'm from Pittsburgh, so there's a Steeler podcast that I listen to every week religiously.
There's a Philadelphia Eagles one.
I do a Green Bay one. That's funny. We all have our team podcast.
But that's great because I'm out of Pittsburgh and I can't keep up with all the news. You know, all I know is that, you know, the Steelers won today, 27-7. Just thought I'd let everybody know. But it's something that I feel totally disconnected from, and it's really, really great. So that I think is, and all of us obviously have different ones that.
Well, you're starting to see a few services. Loomia, L-O-O-M-I-A, is an interesting one because they're starting to do recommendation engines for podcasts. We're all essentially competing for drive time. It's drive time, it's exercise time, and what else is there? People don't have enough time.
Right.
So you'll see recommendation sites coming out. ODO, I think, is going to be doing more
ODO's
of that.
Yeah, ODO's cool.
You know, so I think that's a good way for people to find stuff.
I hope somebody perfects that service or a ranking or something just to let you browse what's out there a little easier because that's one of the curses and benefits of IP media in general is just that
too much.
So many people, anybody can do it.
Right. It'd be great if people rated it also by.
I'd love to hear, but either I never. Hear
how do you
about
find
it? Or,
It'd be great to also know the quality of the content and also the quality of the podcast. I mean, does it sound like it was in somebody's closet or does
and
it sound like
way
it's
to
you
generate
know
that rating system using?
Yeah, we have a new on the news thing we're building. We have three ratings for every podcast. It's the audio quality, the content quality, and the geekiness, which is no matter what the topic is, how deep is it? Is it for average people, or you know,
I like
it,
that.
Is it for people who are way deep into technology?
Yeah, because some of your talks are marketing folks, and I'm less interested in that than if somebody's going to talk about something really deep.
But if it goes deep biotech, you might say,
no, I love that stuff.
Do you? Okay.
Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I have to steer clear of
I'm
biotech.
Listening to more and more of that. Yeah. Well, what else do you listen to, Ken?
There's one I like that just they only have one episode out right now. It's called the Web 2.0 Show.
And do you listen to it over and over?
I've listened to it 20 times.
It's my favorite podcast.
No, it's actually, it's quite good. These guys just talk about next generation website technologies, you know, the Ajax and like the
yeah,
cutting
edge
web 2.0 stuff.
Yeah. I've been a little disappointed. There's a Perl podcast, there's a Python podcast, there's a Ruby on Rails podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
None of them, it's hard, I guess, to do programming as a podcast. I mean, what are you going to talk about?
Yeah, so, did you listen to the Rubies on Rails? I haven't heard that one yet. But
yeah, it's kind of produced in a tunnel way. It's hard to listen when you can't really hear it very well. But yeah, I've been trying, and I keep subscribing to it because I'm fascinated by this stuff.
Yeah, same here.
The Python podcast is pretty good, and there's a Cocoa podcast where the guy, and I think this is one way to do it, talks to developers. So interview developers about what they do, what's their workflow and stuff. It's hard. You can't really say, well, you know, okay, here's a problem when you've got a hook that you in the, you know, in
right.
the, you can't, you're not going to talk about that. What do you listen to, David? Do you listen to podcasts?
Well, I just mentioned like the Science Friday one. Another one that I think, I suppose this
you
is,
get credit.
This one's pretty, from a liberal point of view, I suppose there's one that's called Weekly Radio Address, I think. It's some comedian who decides to do a 2-minute-a-week podcast, about 2 minutes per week, where he does a mock, I'm George Bush, giving the weekly
that's
radio
good.
Address.
And I like that.
He's really funny. But, I mean, again, like he's very a certain type of...
What's the name of that? Do you know?
I think it's called Weekly Radio Address. I mean, okay. If you type in Weekly Radio Address podcast, Bush, something like that.
I want to hear more comics doing those. There's a few comics doing podcasts. There. Dan Klass does one. But I'd like to hear more. I think that's a good.
I mean, comedy or like tech-centric
yeah, just
comedy
kind of talking and being funny. You know, cool. You know. I want to hear more radio drama. That's what I'd like to do. Is more theater.
We're very curious to see how this Martin Sargent podcast goes.
It could be funny.
You know, he's a very funny guy, and if it's well produced, it could be it could be a hoot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you listen to anything at all, Robert?
Not enough. Apparently.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I listen to the stuff we do just to you know check it out, but.
You know what's funny is the Catholic Insider. You ever listen to mm-hmm. that? Because I think he, you know, he's a priest, and I think he always wanted to be a radio guy because it's really produced. You know, he's got music and he's talking like this, and it's fun though. It's quite well done. I think it's quite entertaining. It's the only time I've ever heard a sound seeing tour that was actually entertaining. He did one of.
He got some special scoop in the Vatican, didn't he?
Yeah, he was there during the election of the Pope and stuff. Yeah. So you know, that's kind of interesting, and it's an example of a niche. A real niche-y podcast that actually could be quite well.
Although Catholic Church is a really large niche. I mean, it's
well, but I'm not that interested in the Catholic Church. But if it's well done and the guy's kind right. of interesting, yeah. You can make almost anything interesting. I guess that's what you were talking about with a passion. Yeah. If you have that passion, that comes through when you listen to it.
And I'm hoping that you know we've been talking. I mean, Kevin's doing one on you know how to do podcasting. We're talking about doing stuff that talks about the technology of it, but also how to
in Pixel
you
Core?
Know, use your yeah in the Pixel Core of how to use your voice, how to do the you know do all those pieces because it's something that is really missing. I mean, a lot of podcasts. Hello, this is
oh, there's
yeah,
thousands of people.
That
I am.
Yeah. You know,
the funny thing is they're not that bad. They just need a tiny little bit of tweaking. That's all.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that yeah, if
they
you
just need to run around.
Like
and be 10 times more excited
a little
for
more
about
energy.
A half an hour
yeah,
before they start energy. The show, and then they'd be set.
I think if they all talk like this, it'd be a lot
See,
better.
Leo makes it sound easy.
Yeah,
easy.
Everybody should talk like guy. This. That's the key.
Yomping into number 43.
I could teach anybody to talk like that. Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, I'm Alex. I came down from Medford, Oregon.
I like your shirt.
Thank you.
I'm popular in South Dakota.
I am. Nice. Send it to me. I was wondering what you guys thought of this. I saw this on Dig, actually, the new Microsoft Max. It's direct. It looks like it's a direct competitor with Google's Picasa. You heard of that?
It must be part of that.
Oh yeah, it's
that
Microsoft's
expression.
New application. Right?
Yeah,
it's their,
yeah.
their video. Are
it's
their
to
image?
Run off of WinFX and.
Yeah, I did see that Lance actually.
I haven't even looked at the app yet.
I have.
Have you
I
heard about that?
About it. Is it part of the Expression package or is it something else?
It's a new application that Microsoft just launched last
it's
week.
It's just the Paint application, right?
Is that no? It's
no,
a, it's like a photo organization.
Yeah, just
app.
Like Picasa. You just pull in all your
multimedia.
Photos.
Multimedia. Okay.
I think I dug
awesome
it. Let me find
that. I mean, if you have a computer just full of every image you've taken for the last 5 years in no particular order,
that's what you need.
It's a great tool for
yeah.
just, a straightening it out, and then backing it up.
Right.
It'll. Offer to
Picasa. You're talking about Picasa.
Yeah, look for duplicates, eliminate them for you, and then let you burn it off to a media.
It's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing.
And actually, add to that, I was just wondering what you guys thought about this sort of battle that's going on between Google and Microsoft, and is it going to come to a head soon?
Doug says Google's about to buy Yahoo, or was it Yahoo's about to buy Google?
No, first way. not about to. I don't know how soon it is, but
nope,
I just remember you heard it on Twit first.
That Google,
right? Google
will
buy Yahoo.
Mm-hmm. That would make a giant.
That's almost
company.
That's That's almost an SEC. You know, I mean, that's almost
as long as there's Microsofts around, they'll get away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, that would be very interesting. I mean, it really is. It's coming down to the big players now, and they're all looking for that kind of domination. And it's Google, it's Yahoo, it's Microsoft. There's the Microsoft Max. Oh, I did. I looked at that website. Yeah. I didn't download it, though. I'll have to download it.
Yeah, I haven't downloaded it yet either.
What's the
it's
URL?
It's Microsoft.com/Max.
M-A-X.
I'm really interested to try it. I loved Picasa, and I can see improvements that could be made. And if Microsoft makes a better one, like, I'll use it.
That they probably had that in the lab just sitting on a shelf.
Because they didn't acquire somebody for this.
Somebody had written it, and you know. They probably have stuff like that all over the place, right?
No, they bought it for $2.6 billion from... No.
No. Skype. It was a Skype product. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Jesse. I'm here from New York.
Hi, Jesse. What brings you out here from New York?
I came for you guys.
No.
I'm here with my wife on a small vacation.
How do you keep your wife from hating geeks? I see you brought her.
Yeah. She's back there.
She doesn't mind that you geek out, huh?
No, I just it's a give and take situation. You know, I let her go shopping for a while, and she lets me go shopping for a while.
There you go.
A while in Union Square. I spent a while in the Apple Store. It worked out well.
That's a good relationship.
But I'm wondering what you guys think of mobile computing in the future, with Verizon launching their wireless broadband and all these other companies trying to push data on you, but it doesn't really seem to be catching. Nobody's really catching on, saying, "Hey, I could buy a nice cell phone and use the internet anywhere." Where do you guys see it going in the future?
Well, one of the big players that's going to be coming out is Amped Mobile, and they're going to be, and I mentioned it, I think, in the last show, and it's not anything like what Verizon has right now. So they took in $67 million in their first round, and they start rolling stuff out in, I think, October, November, limited. And
is
then
it
they go,
EVDO or is it?
It's EVDO. It's what we mentioned. It's 2.4 megabits per second to the phone, but it's going to
2.4 megabits.
So that means 30 frames a second to the phone, you know, and you know, a really hot interface. It's going to be, you know, it's
going
to really
change. But
it's
not VCast. It's not what they're doing.
It's not what they're doing now. It's going to be a completely new, you know, process, and it's going to, I think it's going to really change the way we. I mean, I don't
like surfing with a phone. See, I don't know if that's a good device for surfing, but for watching a little video.
And the thing is at that rate, I mean, they're making deals with, you know, ESPN, with
that's fine.
You know,
I could see watching the Steelers game on your phone, right?
I totally do it. You know, and especially when you're traveling.
Can I use that as a modem with my PC, though?
What?
Can I use that as a modem for my notebook?
I don't think so. I think that's always the...
I get 2.4 megabits to my phone.
But, I mean, there's a lot of times, like, when I'm sitting there...
No, I want 2.4 megabits to here.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great device. I mean, if you get Wi-Fi, if you get enough bandwidth...
If you tell me anywhere within your cell network I can receive 2.4 megabits to my notebook with a USB cable... Or
then I'd be happy.
Oh, I'd be right on it.
They're doing that, and they're doing that right now. If you, in the EVDO markets, you can buy a PC card with an antenna, and you have access, you have full access to the EVDO network at... I don't know if it's that fast, but you know it's good. It's ISDN or better.
I'll try to find out from them. But I think that's what
Verizon's selling right now in LA. You could buy that card. You know,
but I think when
soon
you look
here,
at,
by the way,
when you look at companies like ESPN is probably right on the front edge of a lot of how do we use our media in every possible way known to man. You know, and I think that
they're good at that. They even got stores. I always thought we should have a tech TV store.
They have stores. Or they have restaurants.
No, they have stores.
They're not even stores or restaurants. They're amusement centers. They've got games. They've got TVs. They've got
ESPN HD bar.
It's a sports zone, they call it. Incredible. There's one in Disneyland. There's one in Baltimore. There's one in Times Square. Yeah.
But I mean, that's a perfect example of if I could see highlights. I mean, for me, of the Steelers on my cell phone.
Well, that's a great market.
You know, I'd be all over that.
That's
you know?
A great
and there's a lot of times. I mean, I do want to be able to connect it to my computer, but I also. There's sometimes like when I want to watch, like I end up watching movies on. I just got my finally got a PSP, you know, the Sony PSP, and I watch movies while I'm standing in line for like when I'm on flights, when I'm standing in the really really long line at SFO to get on my flight. I sit there and I'm just watching my movie. I don't care how long it takes.
You get them on the UMD format, obviously.
No.
Okay, you use
it. Who knows how he gets it?
You get it as a web browser and you.
He downloads it.
Get content through the internet.
Oh, there's a lot of
converts.
Ways to
make something like that.
Something like that.
PSP.
So yeah.
Has anybody yet cracked the PSP in terms of being able to use the full resolution for your own?
The HD H264. There's a lot of people working on it, but I don't think there's some wanky version of H264. So right now you have to use the MPEG. MPEG-4, you can put it on the memory stick,
but you don't get the full resolution.
Yeah,
you don't get the full resolution, but there. someone's going to figure it out. I mean, it is a retooled H.264.
They've hacked the UMD. It can't be much longer before they figure out how to get full res out of it.
I mean, generally, the one thing to be careful of with your PSP is almost every update to the operating system
breaks
is security.
Yeah,
it's all it is. They're not improving anything on it. Yeah. All they're doing is making it,
well,
breaking
they added
whatever.
The web browser and some other stuff.
Yeah, that makes you feel better.
It's a way to.
Up until 2.0, though, all the points were just little fixes. Let's break.
Right.
Let's break all of the
cool
things,
hack,
all the
cool
things that we did.
Yeah,
you know.
Next week, Jen Cutter will be on the show a little bit talking about that. She hacked my Sony PSP, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Amber MacArthur's coming down too from Toronto to visit us. She'll be on the show, and I trust you all will be back. Doug, come back anytime. We'd love to have you back.
I need the exercise.
It's only a mile, and the beer is free, and the peanuts. Well, we'll charge you for those, but that's all right. All the pocket protectors you can carry home. I want to thank everybody for showing up here. I also want to thank America Online Radio for providing us with the bandwidth at podcasting.aol.com or something like that, aolmusic.com. That'll get you there with a new PodScope interface. Alex Lindsay of PixelCore, thank you for bringing your crew out here.
It's my pleasure.
I can't wait to see this video.
And this was on one day's notice, so they all kind of, it was amazing.
We
have
talked
everyone
about this in Toronto on
Friday night. And here they are. So I'm pretty excited about it. We're hoping to, this is the first round. We'll keep on playing with it, trying to, and we'll see how this one turns out. But we'll keep on playing with it and see how it turns out.
I'm going to send this edition to Ashley Twitt to get debuzzed. He did a good job of debuzzing the last one. We still have a little buzz in here. I don't know where that's coming from. And I really want to thank the, I don't know, we have 60 or 70 people here. I really want to thank you all for being here. You're kind of scaring me. Robert Heron, David Prager, Kevin Rose, Doug Kay, Axel Lindsay. Yeah, that's good. You should we'll do rag and you could.
Yeah.
Get a guy named Flea and you'd be set. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Another twit is in the can. Thank you, everybody. I should have paid attention. I don't know what I'm going to do. Too much work. The problem is, there's no limit. My server's completely collapsed. So here's the deal. I'm just trying to get the thing up, but I have a hell of a time. What blue screens? Like, forget it. I'm killing you.
Round the horn.
Death. Firewall.
Round the horn. Doing the twit.
Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Baby. the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right.